Welcome, everybody. It's time once again for the next chapter with Charlie Hedges. As he explores turning the page on his life and yours. Hey, Charlie.
Hi, Paul. So Paul, we are recording the last episode of 2020 today. Now, you know, we're thinking that's great. That's 2020's over. But, you know, I've got this fear that January 1, 2021 is not going to be all that different than December 31st of 2020. Right. But we shall see. And today what I want to do is I want to chat with our good friend Terry Hershey about beginnings and endings. Part of it has to do with T.S. Eliot and his poetry from his one of his most famous poetry books, Four Quartets, and from the second poem, East Coker. And he writes a repeated refrain that is, in my beginning is my end. And my end is the beginning of all new things. And he writes that ends are good, that it's good to end something and begin something new. But I'll tell you, for endings, for quitting things is a very loaded concept in the American lexicon. With our American sex success orientation, quitting means you are somehow lacking. And I'm not sure I'm ready to buy all that, and that's what I want to talk to Terry about. So let's see what Terry has to say about quitting and how that may relate to a series of new beginnings and new endings. Yo, Hirsch, what's up?
Hey, Charles.
Good to hear from you.
So which one of us is quitting?
Well, I have thought about it several times, but I think about quitting all the time. We will get into it, but I'm a serial quitter. That's why I've had seven or eight careers, because I get to the point where, and we'll talk about why it's time for me to move on. But before we get really deep into our subject, you are in the middle of a new beginning, are you not?
I left the island where I lived for 32 years, and a home that I built, and moved to another town, still in Western Washington, but very different. I moved from 5 acres and several dwellings on the property to a condo.
That's kind of a change.
I don't know. When you look change up in the dictionary, there's a picture of my condo.
Oh, not a picture of your house and your garden.
No, because the change is always, that's interesting. Change is about what the new is. Well, but part of this thing, part about the quitting thing, there's so many ways to frame quitting. Because change, in other words, the circumstances of my life changed, and there were reasons that invited me to make that change. And one of the big things for me was whether I was going to get on board with that or whether I was just going to be at the mercy of whatever happened. And a part of me wanted to be at the mercy of it. And in a sense, the quitter part of me was I just didn't want to care. You know, whatever happened, happened. Well, at some point I had to literally give a damn. And so the part of me, this is the irony, the part of me that didn't want to quit, in other words, on whatever the new beginnings were, had to literally quit one way of life for another way of life. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes it total sense. I mean, what you were doing is that you were as you said, I'm just paraphrasing, you're changing one lifestyle for another, and the one lifestyle is the one that you had developed, nurtured, and built over, gosh, what, 40 years?
Yeah.
And now, I mean, your gardens were so essential to you, and now not having gardens, you know, that, and you know, your different spaces in your homes, that is a change. That is a change. And that was a conscious choice.
That was interesting. Yeah, essential is so right, because I'm thinking out loud about all this, that the quitting part of me was really the one that wanted to shut down and not process it, rather than ask, where do I find what is essential? In other words, that was the invitational question.
I love that. So the quitting is refusing to sort of contemplate and verify the need for the change, the need for quitting, the need for moving on to something different, rather than the benefits of what the new thing would be.
Yeah, and so I'm thinking out loud with that too, because instead of realizing that there are beginnings and endings for all of us, instead of either embracing them or living into them or at least having a say-so about them, part of the quitting is just saying, I just completely shut down. And in other words, I want to be the one that's at the either for as much as I can be in the driver's seat of my life.
Yeah, and that's you know, it seems like
instead of public opinion.
Right. Instead of public opinion or the social opinion you've been so ingrained with for
right.
60 years of,
right.
as I'm thinking about it, and I'm sure there's many more reasons, but I'm looking at maybe what I would like to talk about today is the distinction of quitting, because quitting, as I said, in our success oriented, and that you must always hang in there. You know, the worst thing, really, Terry, we were just talking about it before the show, how many things can you be called that is worse than a quitter?
Right.
I mean, really, it ranks down there with despicable crimes. You know, it's...
Well, okay, so here's what comes to my mind. Here's something you can be called that's the same as that, a snitch. Here's the irony with both being called a quitter and a snitch. Is that you're offending other people. In other words, it's both of them are about public opinion. Both of them are about what people think about you. Isn't that interesting? Neither one of them have to do with your own sense of dignity or honor.
You think quitting has nothing to do with your own sense of dignity or honor? No, because I do agree with you, but there's also an aspect of quitting. I'm wondering where I'm saying, am I letting myself down?
Well, there's two kinds of quitting. One quitting is, there's a way of life that I'm going to stop doing, and then I'm going to do a different way of life. That could be called quitting. All right? We put that to quitter. There's another thing about quitting having to do with not giving effort. That's a different kind of quitting. We have to differentiate between both of those. Not giving effort is a different thing. That's different. Quit trying is a whole different thing than I'm going to quit being a gardener and be now a whatever. I'm going to quit being a writer and be now a whatever.
Right.
I'm going to quit being a professional baseball player because I'm at this stage now where it's time to be. I'm Ken Griffey Jr. right now. I'm hanging up my cleats. So is that quitting?
Yeah, that's what I want to do. I want to try to define quitting a little bit more carefully. And you know, you just mentioned a fourth, but I thought of three types of quitting. One is the type of quitting to where, oh, maybe there's a type of quitting when it just is like, you know, you reach an age and a competence at something that it just is time to move on. It's, you know, it's time to retire, time to move on to something else. There's another quitting to where you have the capability physically, but in our concept, in our mentality, you're not having that mental championship overcoming, and that's what the quitter is. You know, that's the downside of quitting. But there's another side of quitting too, that is brought on by variables that are outside of your control, and you really can't continue quitting. I mean, you can't continue without quitting. Like when I quit my last consulting job, it had to do with anxiety disorder. There was nothing I could do about that. It was impacting my business, and I couldn't work with it. You know, I'm grateful that anxiety disorder has all but disappeared. But then there's one with like you, the situations came up and business situations and lifestyle situations that you were sort of forced to quit where you were and pursue something different. So those are like three different scenarios in quitting. All of them are still, you know, there's, I guess if you are the top of your field and you quit at the top of your field, like you said, like what Barry Sanders did in football, is that quit at the top of his game, then you are a hero. What is it about quitting in the United States? What is it about quitting that brings it out to be such a negative connotation of it? That, I mean, really, you know, you can be called a liar and a cheater and an SOB, but if you're called a quitter, it's probably, now those are fighting words.
Yeah, but I think it's because of public opinion. We live in a world of public opinion. In other words, so the assumption is that what I'm doing as for performance is a benefit for only others around me. And therefore, I mean, no one ever says to you, Charlie, what the hell are you thinking? Why'd you quit drinking? What are you, a quitter? In other words, you were allowed to quit that because they said, oh, that makes sense. You're making choices that are better for you. But if you quit consulting, it's like, Charlie, what the hell's wrong with you? Think about that. You get to quit some stuff.
So what is it, Terry? What's the distinction?
It's that we hold, they can't do that to us. We assume that the person is quitting. We take it personally like they're doing it to us. We're all about public opinion here in our country.
You know, you've brought on a whole different angle for me.
Tell me what's best for you.
Yeah, I was thinking about quitting, I was thinking the same thing that you're saying, is that it really is. If I'm not enjoying something, and I'm not necessarily being all that successful at it, and, you know, even though I want to be the best, but I know that I don't have the physical capability of doing it, what is wrong with quitting and moving on to something where I can flower?
Like Philip Roth, one of my favorite novelists of all time. He's still alive, but maybe 5-6 years ago, he did an op-ed piece, one of the papers, and said, I've written my final book. There will be no more books. I'm not even going to pick up. In other words, and you wouldn't believe in the number. Several people said, wonderful, good for you, you know yourself. Others said, what's wrong with you? In other words, just that declaration had that striking thing, and people saying as if his choice is affecting us.
Well, maybe it is. Maybe it's what about if we look at it this way? What if, like, say, Philip Roth and all the people that followed his, you know, his great fictional work, and he wrote nonfiction as well, too, right?
Right.
Okay.
Some.
Yeah, some, but primarily fiction. And is there a sense of not so much jealousy, but admiration that you get to do something so well and so much better than most people? Why would you ever want to quit? It's like assaulting somebody else's dreams. You are my dream come true. How can you quit? Because that sort of invalidates my dream. Does that seem to strike anything?
Yeah, exactly. In other words, it's that public opinion thing. Is I'm predicating my identity on what you do.
Now, what about when it's not really famous people? What about when it's just friends and family? And they have this thing of quitting. They want you because they want you to be such a success, and they don't want you to quit at what you're doing because you can be ever more successful at it.
I would say that it wouldn't hurt us all to start the conversation with what does success look like for you and for me and for us, rather than how dare you make this decision without consulting me.
You know, I think that's I think that's really helpful in order to understand the validity of quitting. You must first make a determination, what is the value of success? How do you define success, and what is its value? And if that thing that you are quitting is not in that success, you know, does not line up with those success, that success list, it really doesn't make a sense. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, it starts with, it's interesting if someone says, I want to quit. Instead of me judging whatever, it wouldn't hurt if I listened first. Tell me where you are. Tell me what's going on. Tell me how I can help. Tell me what makes you tick.
You know. Let me get a little personal here. You know, I've had. You know, I just sort of arbitrarily, Terry, if I count them, you know, they come to like 7 different careers in my life that are right. Sometimes simultaneously, but they're very, very different functions. And in order to move from one to another, I could do a couple of them at the same time, but there came a place where I had to quit something in order to move on to the next thing I had to make room on my plate to do it. Now, let's talk about painting. You know, I'm 71. At 60 years old, I taught myself how to paint, sort of contemporary abstract paintings. And you know, and I got decent at it. I never got good, you know, where I'm going to be in a gallery or anything. But I got decent where, you know, some people were wanting my art, and some people were actually willing to pay a little money for it. But I realized something, Terry. After about 6 years, I painted a painting, which I think is my best painting, and I just said, I'm never going to get any better than this. I gave it to my son. People offered him money for it. There were people that wanted to commission me to paint paintings in their houses. But I knew I couldn't. I didn't even know if I could repeat that painting, let alone do better than that painting. And it hit me. I have reached my level of competency that I can reach in self-teaching. I would need to go on to some sort of master's program or some sort of deep artistic program. And I'm not even sure that I have the physical capability of doing it. I'm not a great small motor skill guy. But that was just, it was perfect timing. I had to make a decision. Do I want to spend the next 5 to 10 years really honing this craft, or do I want to try something different? And the answer was pretty simple. I want to try something different. And, you know, that it ended up back into more of a career of writing, of spending more time in writing. But it was not, it was a combination. I was limited by competence, but I had developed confidence to a really nice state that I was proud of it. People liked my work, but for it to move to the next phase, I had to put more into it than I wanted to put into it. And it just didn't make sense.
And therefore, I mean, that sounds good.
I think that's good quitting. I think there comes a time where you reach what you've tried to do without being, the multi-billionaire top of the list thing. But you've accomplished what you wanted to accomplish. You've served the people you want to serve. You've made a living. You've used your talents. Now it's time for something different. I don't find anything wrong with that.
Oh, 100%. There's a great story about, and of course, his name's going to escape me, but Pacific Northwest, he makes handmade guitars for people. out of specific kind of wood and stuff. And when he's finished with it, and there's the story is about somebody saw the guitar that he made for so-and-so and said, I want one of those. And he said, I don't do that. I made that for them. And they said, I want another one. It was, he said, but I don't do that. In other words, he was quitting being a certain kind of producer. He said, I make this and then I'm done. I don't make another one like that. I make that one.
That makes perfect sense. I'm trying to look up right now the name of an artist, and they did a film on him, and Helen Mirren was in the film, I believe, where her painting was stolen from her during the Holocaust, and it was, I can't think of the guy's name, the artist's name, and it was gold. There was gold in the paintings. They were just fabulous. I mean, they're fabulous. They're magnificent pieces of art, and they were very famous. But he only painted like 8 to 12 of these paintings, and this is what he's known for. But it was where he was at the moment. That was what he wanted to express. Those were what were in his genes at the moment. And then after a year or so, he just said, that's it, no more. I'm done, and he never painted another one.
I think that's great. See, it starts with taking us back to the question, what do you find essential? What do you make room for? You said that earlier about making room. I wrote that down. I like that. What are you making room for? In other words, what kind of human do you wish to be on this planet?
Yeah, it's a much better question than what am I opting in of or what am I opting out of. It's what kind of human, what is success in my language, not in the accumulating money, you know, my three P's, possessions, prestige, and power. It doesn't have anything to do with those.
Same, it's like, yeah, I agree with it. Yeah, I agree. I mean, like me, if someone asks me what I do for a living, I mean, I write, sure, but for all intents and purposes, vocationally, I'm a speaker. Well, not in 2020. I'm not a speaker. So what? I don't have an identity? So it's a similar kind of thing to quitting. You're asking the same kind of question.
I want to look at another thing that occurs here. What about the situation? There is a chance I do have the talents to succeed at something I'm currently involved in, but I have this overwhelming sense of fear of failure, fear of rejection, that I don't want to get involved in it. I don't want to take a chance. It's better not to get accolades than to get condescending remarks on your work. So how many times do we quit something because we're afraid, Terry? We're afraid of that we're going to fail, that we're going to be rejected, people won't like us. I really think you're onto something, that this is about what other people sense is good for you.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you. I mean, like even when you go back to writing class, I mean, the vast number of people in the writing class, virtually no one is ever going to have a cool career in writing, but many people assume they suck right away and so they quit, you know, and they never give it a chance because you're measuring yourself by a strange mechanism. But that calls for another person in our life who also weighs and measures where we find, you know, emotional well-being in general. Because the person who has grounding is better suited for the fight of quitting. And by quitting, I mean better suited for the fight of, should I continue this or not continue this? Yeah, I've had many times where I've, because you get your, you, you, it's a crazy world that you know, as soon as you measure yourself in whatever field you're in, as soon as I measure myself against other people who do what I do, who have a far bigger fan base and a far bigger expanse, then I'm screwed if I start there.
Yeah, it's I had a show a couple weeks ago. My son was on, and we talked about the insides of being a professional baseball player, of on season, off season, of what it's like to get, you know, ecstatic fan mail, and what it's like to get hate mail, and he just decided he stays in there for one reason. He loves the game. He loves the game. He loves the camaraderie, the teamwork. He loves working out. He likes the lifestyle. You know, so all of the negative things that he would get just kind of go, you know, they fall off a duck's back. Is that the way you say it? Fall off a duck's back.
Yeah.
Because enjoys it. So,
I mean, really, but that question, that's the right kind of question. Is what do you make room for? Is do you love the game? I mean, that's the first thing you want to ask.
Yeah, that's a good. It's a good question. You know, I mean, too bad we don't have a series of questions. You know, so we would ask the questions of do you like the rules of the game? You like the way the game is being played? Do you like, you know, participating in this game? Do you like the results of the game? I don't know. Those are really great success-oriented questions that I think help us identify with this thing of quitting. So I guess as I'm feeling the need to wrap us up here, we really are looking at there is a healthy quitting where it really is good. It's a beginning of a new, it's the end of a new beginning. The beginning is ending a new thing, an old thing. Or it's the thing that I know, I have so many friends that are life coaches and business coaches that are working with people all the time that want to quit, that really, really should not quit. They're better off where they are in the coach's opinion.
To me, the issue is not quitting there. The issue there is exhaustion. And in other words, there's something else going on that's clouding there. One of the best stories I like to tell is a guy's in a massive pit, and he doesn't know what to do, can't get out. So in other words, he's that person you're talking about. And somebody looks down and says, hello. And the guy says, hey, can you help me? And so the guy jumps down, and the guy says, what the hell are you doing jumping down here? And the guy says, well, because I've been here before and I know the way out. So that kind of person you're talking about is the person, they're in a pit of some kind emotionally. The ones you say who, I'm just going to quit. Well, they're in a pit. So first of all, we have to get that taken care of. The question of quitting or not quitting is a secondary question. The first question is how can I get you help in a healthy frame of mind? How can I get you at home in your own skin? If you're at home in your own skin, you'll make much better choices about quitting or not quitting. Trust me.
Yeah, I like that. But what kind of help can we offer to people to find out what it's like to be home in your own skin? What does that mean? I mean, we've defined it. Every show we seem to define it. But how do I know? Yeah, how do I know?
If you're home in your own skin, you can make declarative choices. You can make choices that say, I like, I love, I choose. In other words, you know what those things are. These things heal me. These things diminish me. I know what those are. These things invite my passion. These things squelch my passion. I know what those things are. I'm in my own skin now. And when you're exhausted, you forget some of that stuff.
What do you get exhausted about?
Well, I'm speaking now in the, I'm calling it the church world, but it expands elsewhere. When you assume your job is to make everybody happy. And that's, you know why that's not fun?
Because it's not possible.
Because it makes you want to drink.
Yeah.
Actually, you know, the simplest answer to the question about it is, the simple answer to the question is, I'm asking the wrong question, I'm going to be exhausted, I'm not going to be in my own skin.
Terry, how do we do this? I'll make it public. I'm hiring a coach for next year, and we are going to take a look at what activities I'm doing and see what do I want to focus on. Now, believe me, here I am.
Yeah.
I mean, do you know anybody that's evaluated their life more than me? I mean, I'm always evaluating my next motions, and here I am hiring, you know, a really competent coach to help walk me through what do I want to do, what am I fearful of doing, what do I need to spend my time doing. But, you know, I'm 71. I've got 10 or 20 years or 2 or 3 months. I mean, I don't know. But I want it to count. And if I need to quit something, I need to quit something. I've thought about, you know, I've got my four noble aims, my four pillars, and are they the right pillars in my life? And yeah. So I guess my question is, I feel for our listeners. What about our listeners that don't have a coach or a wise friend that's not going to talk them into a hole? Because this is the kind of thing where you talk about quitting and you can get somebody who's an anti-quitter and all they can do is tell you you've got to hang in there no matter what. And you may be hanging in you got no business hanging in.
You've got to hang in there no matter what is never the answer to the question unless I'm willing to ask the better question first.
And that?
Tell me what you love. Tell me what you care about. Tell me what's essential. Tell me what you make room for. If I can help you answer those, then we've got the ammunition to address the question of quitting or not quitting, moving on or not moving on, changing or not changing.
Yeah. What do you, so the answer to, it's not about quitting itself. It's about what you are quitting. And what you are quitting for, what is the trade-off?
Right, exactly. It's about, just tell me, what the next choice is.
Okay, I'll tell you what, I'll make a deal with you. I got a challenge for you. I'm going to write a post this week on quitting.
Okay.
Will you write a Sabbath moment on it?
Yeah, but it won't be this week. It'll be in January.
It'll be in January? Okay.
Yeah. Because this week I'm going to write one on, what's the last of the year called? New Year's.
Oh, I thought you were going to write it on our president.
Well, speaking of endings and new beginnings, I would praise the Lord.
Yeah, if there is an ending.
Yeah. It's at that point, just quickly, there's somebody who's not at home in his own skin, to put it bluntly.
Yeah, it's sad. I mean, you know, I mean, it's a travesty what's happening, but it is sad as an individual.
Yeah.
Okay, buddy. I think that's knowing what we come up is knowing who you are, what you want, what gives you pleasure, and then when it before you quit. It's time to run it by a couple of people that are close to you. I don't think you want to do this on your own. This is something that really calls for feedback. This is what community is all about.
Because you're going to have people who know what makes you at home in your own skin, and you can have people who know what pulls you away from that.
Yeah. I got it. Okay, man. I don't know if I will talk to you before, because we got Christmas in a couple of days, so I want to wish you and Nance and the rest of your family a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. I'm sure we'll talk before New Year's, but I want to wish you guys a great day,
buddy,
in case I don't talk to you.
Yep.
Thanks for being on the show.
See you, man.
Okay. Terry Hershey, thanks so much for spending time with me today, and I want to thank all our listeners for tuning in to The Next Chapter with Charlie, and be sure to check us out at our website, thenextchapter.life, L-I-F-E. And until next, this is Charlie Hedges signing off. Bye for now, and look forward to seeing you in 2021.